Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
As we get into our Week in Theater segment, what is going on stage in Chicago?
We are a team working side by side. That's how we do it. Dan is the one who figures the plans and I review it.
It's a little bit of a new production that's just opened in the Chicago area called Burnham's Dream, The White City. It is the story of the architect Daniel H. Burnham, to whom we can be grateful for our beautiful lakefront and so many other spectacular architectural feats here in the Chicago area, including parts of the Chicago World's Fair that's been brought to this stage with the story and the lyrics by June Finfer, who joins us here in the studio this morning, not only writing this play and the music, but also a bit of an architectural buff. So kind of significant for you, June, that you would be here in historical Tribune Tower on our final day of broadcasting from here.
Yes, I'm very honored, actually. The Tribune Tower being neo-Gothic is probably a child of the World's Fair, because that was the neoclassical and neo-Gothic revival that had spread from the East Coast and was used at the 1893 World's Fair. So it's probably kind of a grandchild of the World's Fair.
Yeah, it all kind of comes around a little bit. The story of Daniel Burnham and White City and the World's Fair is one of the greatest, I think, in Chicago history. And I'm surprised it's taken this long to be dealt with on the stage. It certainly has been in novels, Devil in the White City being the most predominant, and if they ever get that movie made, that has been delayed for over a decade, I think. But good for you for taking the bull by the horn here and doing something with this. Tell us about Daniel Burnham's dream.
Well, Daniel Burnham was not born as a great icon. He was a human being like the rest of us. He was from a farming family that didn't do well in New York, so his mother moved him and his brothers here, and the father followed. And Daniel wasn't a good student, and he didn't pass the exams to go to graduate to university, so he never studied architecture. He couldn't find his way. He liked to draw. He knew that, and he was a charmer. Went to Nevada, was mining for silver. Didn't find any, ran for public office, didn't win, came back, got a job as a draftsman in an architectural firm, and that was really a good place for him. He was a brilliant organizer and layer out of plans of the buildings, and he could draw well.
Without formal training.
Without formal training. Well, at that time, a lot of people apprenticed.
Yeah.
It wasn't unusual.
That's how you learn the craft.
That's how you learn.
By being someone else would give you their plans and their ideas, and as a draftsman, you would sit there and actually just draw lines.
Right. So he did that for years, and then he had the luck to meet John Root, who was a brilliant engineer and architect, who was from Georgia originally and a very creative guy. He went to school in Paris, and then he came back here, and they formed a partnership in which they had no money for pencils. They hung out their shingle. They had nothing. They were eating cereal for dinner, that kind of thing. And after 15 years, they became the busiest firm in Chicago because of the combination of talents that they had.
And how did this spill over then, when all this enormous amount of work came to be with having to build the World's Fair, the exposition, and White City, basically, in the Hyde Park neighborhood?
Well, Chicago really wanted this fair. The fire had been wiped out the center city 20 years before. They rebuilt it quickly. It attracted great architects from all over. And it was a boom town. I mean, you think it's boom town now when you see all the cranes, but then everything was new in the center of the city. And Chicago really wanted to prove itself. It was considered the frontier at that time, the gateway to the West. You know, it was a Stockyards and Railroad Center. Right. And, so they had a lot to prove. So they sent all of the lobbyists to Washington. That's how we got our name, the Windy City, all the boosterism that was going on. And they beat out Washington and New York and Kansas City and a lot of other places because they had such spirit. There was such spirit to Chicago, and they wanted it so badly. So I was very interested in the story of this man who was so ambitious, the city who was which was so ambitious, and this opportunity to create a great World's Fair, arguably the best since then and the best ever, where millions of people came to see it from all over the world.
Oh, that must have been an incredible time for a World's Fair. I mean, there are World's Fairs now. But the things that you see at the World's Fair now are things that you can pretty much see in any city, any any exposition center,
shows,
any
right.
museum and trade shows.
Right.
But then people were coming to see marvels of the world, things that had never been seen before.
They
were being seen on the southeast side of Chicago what is now
Jackson Park
and Hyde Park. Yeah.
No, I mean, Chicago wasn't electrified. Chicago wasn't completely paved. The World's Fair used electricity, and they used it not only to display things, but also to build. I mean, they built it over a period of 2.5 years, and they had to use electricity so the men could work day and night to build this thing through brutal winters.
Yeah.
I mean, the telephone was relatively new. Cracker Jacks, you know, there was a lot of new.
Yeah, well, things that just dazzled people. That's why millions came to Chicago for all of this.
That's right.
Now, how does this all work itself into a musical? That's what we'll find out when we come back and talk more with June Finfer. The musical itself, Burnham's Dream, The White City, is playing through July 1st at Theater Wit. In Chicago, I'll give you some more details on that when we come back. WGN.
City of
Inequality.
Volatility.
Opportunity for Chicago.
1052 WGN. Dean Richards Sunday morning. Our final broadcast from historic Tribune Tower today before we move over to our new digs. Starting tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock on the Steve Cochran Show, I'll be broadcasting live from the new radio station on the WGN-TV Morning News tomorrow morning doing my entertainment segments from there. So if you're interested in getting a peek at the new studios, WGN-TV tomorrow morning. We are talking with June Finfer, who is the writer of this new musical that has just opened at Theater Wit, Burnham's Dream, The White City. There is endless fascination, isn't there, with Daniel Burnham and the great white city that was created around the World's Fair. Why do you think so much for Burnham? Because he had so little formal training and went on to become, still today, I think, one of the most influential architects in the history of the city of Chicago.
Daniel Burnham did the plan of Chicago. He was one of the directors of the Plan of Chicago that was published in 1909, which really formed the basis of our traffic system, our park, our lakefront, and it has affected us even to today. I was very interested in this because my late husband was an architect planner, and I was fascinated by the vision of architect planners and their egos. Because you don't get anything done unless you have a pretty strong ego.
Right. Well, you have the vision for how things should be.
Right. Right. And you have to believe you're right, but you have to listen to other people, too.
Right.
So that was my initial interest, but how do you write a show about a plan? Then I read that Burnham said that his inspiration and Chicago's inspiration for the Plan of Chicago was the World's Fair, in which they virtually created a new city of almost 700 acres on the lakefront in Jackson Park. It was clean. It was orderly. It was safe. And people came there out of a chaotic city where the streets weren't all paved and there was not electricity everywhere. And there were brothels and there was gambling and there were trolleys and railroad cars running over pedestrians. And they came to the city and there was no vehicles except if you were pushed by somebody in a little cart. There were Venetian boats. There was no coal burning in the area, so the air was clean. The water was safe and sanitary from Wisconsin. There were public toilets. I mean, it was a dream city.
It's amazing, really.
Yeah, truly, and that's amazing. Despite all the exhibits, in addition to all the exhibits of the great inventions of the time.
Yeah. So what inspires you then to write a play or a musical about all of this?
Well, because my husband had experience planning the new town of Valdez in Alaska after the 1964 earthquake, I saw how exciting it was to start from scratch and to do a visionary city. And so I was very interested in that. I also had a wonderful experience. I wrote a play about Mies van der Rohe's Farnsworth house called The Glass House, which was produced in New York a few years back. I have this fascination with architects because they're not businessmen, and they're not artists. There's something in between, and that fascinated me.
Well, this is, as I say, I can't believe it's taken so long for Daniel Burnham's story to be told, and a theatrical project about White City, about which there is so much interest and curiosity. So what do we see when we go to Theater Wit, and what do we experience?
Well, it may not be what people expect, because it's a music hall variety show that uses music that could have been written at the time, dance that could have been done at the time, like an operetta. And it's whimsical, but it has serious and relevant themes. I mean, it's a time that was on the cusp of the modern age. So there are Ida B. Wells, who's trying to get representation by blacks. There's Bertha Palmer, who's trying to do a women's building. There are Irish immigrants that are trying to get jobs. And meantime, I'm showing that Burnham was not this icon that we think of today, who is just so powerful. He was an ambitious architect who wanted to be known as the greatest architect in the country. Mm-hmm. That was what he told his mother when he was a child. And so he has to go on a journey where he learns that it's not just his personal ambition that counts, but it's the lives of the people that his work affects. And that's the journey he goes on. But we have a lot of fun along the way with some songs like his wife sings Never Marry an Architect because he's never home. And the audiences seem to be really enjoying it.
Yeah. If you love Chicago history, if you are fascinated by this man and that part of Chicago history, this sounds like it's definitely the show for you. It's called Burnham's Dream, The White City. It's playing at Theater Wit, which is 1229 West Belmont on the north side of Chicago. It's playing there until July 1st. And you can get tickets at 773-975-8150. Or in person at the Theater Wit box office. I appreciate you coming in, June Finfer. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be able to talk about Chicago and Chicago history and the spirit of Chicago.
It's the perfect day for it here in Historic Tribune Tower.
Thank you, and good luck to you on your move.
Thank you very much. It's